You're listening to How You Doin' Bay County, a Mental Health Matters podcast with a local twist. Hey there, how you doing, Bay County? I'm Kelly Mustaine, the Executive Director of Alignment Bay County, also known as ABC. Before we begin with today's guest, I wanted to share a little about our organization and the purpose of this podcast. How You Doin' Bay County is an initiative by Alignment Bay County, which is a local, nonprofit, collective impact organization. We're focused on youth success from cradle to career, and one way we do that is by supporting families and our community as a whole. It's no secret that things have been difficult and challenging here in Bay County. ABC, along with our partner organizations, noticed that both children and adults in our area were struggling with their mental health and positive well-being. We also noticed folks simply asking each other, "How you doing?" That question, along with the stress of the last few years, inspired us to create a local mental health resource. First, a website, howyoudoin.org, which has a local behavioral health directory as well as other resources. And this podcast, How You Doin' Bay County. Our goal is to make finding behavioral health resources easier for our community and bring awareness that your mental health matters. On today's episode, we're welcoming Christy Myers from the Florida Veterans Support Line to discuss how they are helping veterans in our area. Hey there, Christy. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Now, you had a long drive this morning, so we're glad and thankful you're here with us.
Thank you.
So can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you started with the Florida Veterans Support Line?
Yes, I am actually a veteran myself. I was in the Air Force from 94 to 98. I was stationed at Langley in Hampton, Virginia. After I got out, I decided I wanted to continue to help veterans. So I went to school and pursued school to be able to help veterans. Kind of fast forward, I moved to Florida in 2018. And after my husband passed away, I stayed here to continue to pursue my social work degree and kind of figure out what I wanted to do next. And I actually started at United Way in Pensacola as a free intern. So they got a lot of work out of me. before my internship was over, they approached me and asked me if I wanted to stay. So I was hired part-time. And then I went from part-time in July of 2021. I went full-time with the Veteran Support Line, being their resource specialist, traveling 10 counties in our local area, being Bay County as one, Gulf County, Calhoun County, Washington County, Jackson County, Okaloosa County, Walton, and Escambia and Santa Rosa. So I travel a lot and live in my car right now. and I go and see the different resources and help find resources that are veteran specific. And recently I just got promoted to where I would be a care coordinator as well. So I will still be helping veterans, still be helping with the resources, but also be able to be on the phones and taking those calls as well.
Congratulations on your promotion. So we have a tremendous number of retirees here and veterans. So I know you guys stay busy with the amount that we have in this area. The Florida Panhandle is a great place to retire and lay down roots. And so we know that we have a huge military population. Goodness, between Gulf and the state line, like that is a lot of bases and a lot of military folks. So we know that you guys are needed here. So can you tell us a little bit more about the support line and what it does here locally?
Yes. So we are actually based out of Pensacola with the United Way of West Florida. We are statewide. It was started 8 years ago in Tampa. They noticed that when people were calling in and they were getting someone who didn't understand military life, didn't understand our stressors, some people like to say triggers, but things that we have that not a lot of people understand, and they were getting frustrated, and so they didn't want to call back. So when you call 211, we want veterans to feel very comfortable. So everyone on our team for the Florida Veterans Support Line is a veteran themselves. Some are retired, some did part, some didn't retire, some, but we all have different walks of life. You know, our Marines, our Navy, Air Force. My team is compiled of 3 Air Force and 1 Navy, so he's kind of on his own.
Go Air Force.
He gets picked on a lot, but we love him.
As he should.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works. But, you know, we're very much that battle buddy type of atmosphere, and we want the callers to feel the same thing. When they call us and they share with us what's happening, what's going on, our main goal is to prevent suicide. The numbers are higher than what the CDC has right now. They're closer to 22 a day. Actually, it is 22 a day, and it could be, we're thinking it's going to be closer to 23, but we are all trying to combat that and help that, because we don't want, you know, them to have that one thing that puts them over the edge, when it might be that one thing if we could have just got to them that we could help them with. So that is our main goal, is to help prevent suicide and give them that sounding board and that person that understands what they're going through to talk to and to come up with a plan. You know, when they call us, it isn't, oh, here's a number. We literally talk to them and come up with a plan and help them get to the next steps. If they need more than a couple phone calls, we will continue to call.
Great. And so, like you said, the CDC is reporting that, you know, we have 22 a day. It's the veteran suicide is increasing at a more rapid pace than the general population. It is a major issue that I know, we're a military family, and I know just in the last 20 years that we've been military that, you know, we've seen the focus shift to mental health awareness and mental health supports. But from your experience being there in the trenches with this, what do you think is happening? Why do we see this intense rise in suicide attempts by our military veterans?
A lot of times it's misunderstandings. A lot of times it's, I'm going to say personal opinion, missed opportunities for helping with mental health. They get frustrated with their doctors, or, you know, we have a lot of homelessness as well. And that, you know, that does compile it, because they don't have a home to go to. You know, they worry about all these other things as well, plus mental health, plus this happening. We have substance abuse issues, you know, that they can't find help or not sure if they have help. So a lot of it, I've seen the homelessness increase, especially, you know, with we have storms, we have all these other things that happen in our area that don't always happen in other areas. But, you know, we do have a lot of increase of homelessness. We have a lot of substance abuse that is untreated, a lot of mental health that's untreated. And part of that is they don't want to go. They're scared to go. They don't want to lose their disability, things like that. You know, and it's, we're just trying to help bridge that and show them that it is okay. It's okay to have those problems. It's okay to have those emotions and, you know, get help and really, truly get help. Like, the vet centers are here. You know, our health system is here. It's all here to help them. And sometimes with the PTSD and things of that nature, it's hard to see that. So we're just trying to kind of help them see that it's really here. It's okay to talk about now. And things like that, so they know they're safe.
Something that I think civilians don't often understand is that kind of mindset in the military, where you might be like profusely bleeding from your arm. You're like, no, I'm okay. I still want to be deployed. I still want to go with my guys. Like, I still, like, I don't need to go to the doctor, because you're terrified of getting, you know, we say it's deniffed. Like, you're terrified of getting taken off the line, getting taken out of your job, not getting to fly, not getting to jump, whatever. And that kind of cycles through to mental health as well. Like, no one really wants to admit that they have anything going on, whether it's physical, mental, emotional. Like, you just want to be like, I'm fine. I want to be at work. I want to be doing my job. And so there's that stigma that we still, even all these years later, they're trying to fix it, but there's still a stigma that exists. That keeps people from seeking help. I've seen it.
Oh, and it's every day. I mean, and I'm speaking from my own personal, I'm the same way. And so a lot of times when I tell veterans, like, oh, just call us, let us help you. Just go to the doctor. We'll get you where you need to be. Let's get your disability filed. Let's do this. And then I have to look at myself sometimes and go, are you taking your own advice?
Yeah.
Because it is, I'm going to call it the suck it up buttercup mentality, because we've had that since I joined. And I've heard that since I joined, you know, and in our heads, that's what we go back to. Oh, we'll just suck it up. We're fine. Oh, we'll do it later. It's fine. And later it's fine is not really fine. So we are really trying to get them, just call us, let us help you. Like, that's all we want you to do.
So that leads us to a good question is, so someone decides they have chosen that they're going to acknowledge the fact that they're bleeding profusely out of their arm. So when they call you, the support line for mental health reasons, what can they expect? What's going to happen next?
So when they call us, they're going to talk to one of three people, which is going to be myself, Greg, or DJ. And we're, you know, we'll ask them what's going on. All we do is hope they tell us everything. But they will call and, you know, tell us what's going on. We'll come up with a plan together. If it's mental health resources they need, if it's, you know, if they don't want to go to the VA, but they want something else, there are other, you know, organizations that do provide mental health services as well. A lot of them are free or sliding scale, very low sliding scale, depending on what type of agency it is. And, you know, like I said, they'll get a veteran. They'll be able to tell us what's going on. We'll come up with a plan. We'll give them the resources that they need for whatever's going on, you know, anything, utilities, anything they need. We'll find the resources for them. We'll also follow up with them. And we always ask if we can follow up with them because we do want to check on them. We want to make sure whatever resources we gave them, if they had a hard time getting a hold of them or if they didn't get a hold of them, why, you know, and we try very hard to make sure that we do follow up with them, make sure they're moving that next step because, you know, we as veterans are pretty stubborn. We hate to admit that sometimes, but we are. And sometimes I'll look at the number and go, yeah, I could call them. And so we always call them back, hey, did you get a hold of them yet? You know, that way it kind of puts that ball back in their court to say, oh, they're going to check on me. Let's do this. Yeah. You know, let's get what we need to do. And it's been really positive. And they do get to call us back. And we do have success stories where they call us back and say, hey, you know, I made the phone call. I got in. Like, this is happening. And a lot of times it's just that one little thing that can ease them or it's that one little thing that can put them over. That's so true. We are trying to take away that one thing over.
That's great.
And give them that one positive to move forward.
And a point of contact to seek help.
Yes.
So you talk about the different resources available. Can you share with us so some of the things that are provided for these veterans that are in need of help?
We have agencies that we deal with, like 90 Works is a real big popular one for our veterans. They are a veteran stability program. And so what they do is they're designed to help, like for the first 90 days, to get them where they need to be, like housing, utilities. They'll help pay for move-in costs, like the rent, you know, the deposits. The rent deposits and utility deposits to help them, you know, get those things on because that can get pricey.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're trying to start over. And
in this area where everything is expensive.
Now is crazy. They help with those types of services, and they help them if they need more than 90 days help. Then they have case management where they'll, you know, call them and check on them and make sure that they're moving forward and stable, because that's basically what they're designed to do, is to help get them stable, whether it's from homeless to housing, new housing, however they need to do it to help. They do that and help them get where they need to be so that they can be financially stable and comfortable and back away from all those things we don't want them, you know, to have. Like Catholic Charities is another good one that helps with like rent and utilities. At the VAs, you also have like the HUD-VASH program that a lot of our homeless veterans can take advantage of. They do case management as well and help them as well stay stable, get their, you know, get their vouchers so that they can have a place to stay and things of that nature. And it helps, you know, it's just that one step further to help them get into a place, help them financially so that they can be stable and be on their own and have something to be proud of, and they did it.
So you guys aren't just providing mental health supports, you're providing access to funds for helping get them in a house, in a stable position, which is more than just calling a helpline. That's a wraparound approach to helping these veterans, which I'm sure can be difficult on your side of it. Can you speak to some of the challenges that you all face day to day with trying to attempt to give care to folks?
Some of our challenges, honestly, are not the veteran itself, but the challenges that they're facing. Sometimes there's food issues where they don't have transportation to go and get it. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's sometimes those challenges of transportation issues, trying to find transportation or a way it can be delivered, or, you know, things of that nature, because we do have disabled veterans that can't just jump out and go and get it. And that is one of, between housing right now and the food issue that I see, those are my two biggest that I see. And those are the two biggest that get our veterans very depressed as well, which who wouldn't be? You know, it's going to get cold here a little bit. And, you know, those are things that they are challenged with and that they see and they understand. And so, you know, I love that we have a lot of food banks. I love that we have a lot of those things available. But a lot of things I see is sometimes just getting it to the veteran or getting the veteran there to get it, things of that nature. And it does make it a little difficult because they don't want to say, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. But you don't also want to give them something that they can't utilize.
Yeah.
So that's kind of hard sometimes when we're just like, oh, no, what do we do? Now, we have a lot of great agencies that we work with in, you know, a lot of these different areas, and like Innovative Charities. They're real good. They'll make a box and let somebody come pick it up and drop it off and things like that. So it really does help when we have agencies that are willing to do that and let us, you know, let us help and let us find a way. And so they let us think outside of the box a lot, which is good. But it does get very challenging because not every area has a place like that where we can do that, or not every area is that accessible.
Or convenient.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we know that a lot of these veterans are suffering with mental health issues. And then if they're also dealing with food instability and housing insecurity, that just amplifies everything that's already going on, correct?
Yes.
So can you share ways that you have been impacted in your daily life? Like maybe some stories of ways that you have seen this support line success? Because I know it can weigh on your soul when you're dealing with people's troubles day in and day out.
A little bit.
Yeah.
We actually have several success stories that we have dealt with. I won't use names, but we've had one veteran that has a liver issue and has no transportation. And speaking of food, you know, he was hungry. Him and his wife were very hungry, and we were able to have food delivered from Innovative Charities. Mm-hmm. Actually, they made a box and allowed someone to go pick it up and go drop it off to them. And, you know, just seeing that and hearing the gratefulness that he called back and said, oh, thank you, you know, because, I mean, it was put together through, like, four different people, you know, just to be able to get it done. And just hearing him say, like, thank you so much, you know, this is a blessing, this helps so much, just to know that that was one less worry they had that night, and at least for another couple of weeks, because it was a lot of food, you know, but to just know that was able to be done, it was done quickly, you know, they felt blessed, they felt better. And for me, and I know Greg and DJ that I work with as well, that is our goal. We just want to put them in a better place. The stories are hard. The things we hear is very difficult. But to know that we could just be a little part of it and just a little part of that one more step forward is what keeps us going, because we don't want them to make that step. Mm-hmm. We want them to continue. So just knowing that we can do those little things and see those stories and, you know that they that was the one thing that just made their day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something that sometimes we take for granted, that we know we have food at home. Not everybody does. So it's different things like that that I look at and just go, okay, we're one more step. We got one more direction in the right way.
Just a small daily victory just to keep you going, right?
If they keep calling us and they keep asking, then we're doing our job. So.
Yeah. what happens if you do have someone that continues to call and continues to say, oh, we still don't have food, or we're still needing a place to, like, what are there long-term supports in place that they can then access either with grants or other programs where it's not just a day-to-day crisis you know, fixing the crisis. It's more of a long-term plan to get them help.
When it's more long-term, that's when we do rely on other agencies. You know, we will reach out directly. Like, we'll reach out to the HUD-VASH program. We'll reach out to social workers we know. We have a lot of tools in our tool belt that we, you know, that if we know it's something that is going to need more long-term than what we can provide, we do make sure that they're put with those agencies that can help them, whether it's, you know, if it's Council on Aging, you know, for them to have longer-term care because they are getting older in the system, things like that. You know, we just kind of match, we try to match what they're going through, who the person is, and what care they're going to need. Because sometimes they don't tell us that it is something that is going to be long-term. When we realize it's long-term, that's when we, you know, really start looking out for the agencies that can help them get a little bit more stable and find out why. You know, like with 90 Works, they're great at, they do their workups and they find out, you know, what do they need? Why do they need them? You know, why can't they maintain it day to day? And it could be something simple. It could be something as simple as a budget. They don't understand how to do it. You know, they're widowed and their spouse always did it. It's things like that that we have, you know, found. But it's getting kind of to that root and them feeling comfortable enough with us to let us ask those questions, to answer those questions. And when we do get to the root of the, you know, the root of the problem, then we can really, really dive in and say, okay, well, let's get you with this person. And we love to, you know, go and visit our agencies and get a personal relationship with them as well. So that when we do have to call them, or if we tell a veteran, hey, call so-and-so here, when they call, then they know they have a person and they have that personal connection already, because then they can say, you know, hey, Greg told me to call, DJ told me to call, Christy told me to call for this. And then they know, okay, well, she referred them. So they have more of that personal connection, and that's what we do try to keep, is that personal connection. And if it is long-term, we don't want to just hand them over, but we do try to help them, and then we'll call them back and check on them and make sure, you know, they're still doing well. And, I mean, we have right now people that are calling us that have called us over 2 years ago. And they're still calling just to say, hey, we're doing good, you know, so we like getting those calls. Yeah.
Do you find that most of the people calling are older veterans? Is it?
Yes. More,
yeah.
Yes. A lot of them are older. You know, they're aging and things are rising. They've had their fixed incomes. So sometimes that can be tough. Sometimes it's just one emergency kind of backed them up and then they just need to get over the hump.
Kick it to the next month.
Exactly. Yeah, next check. We can just get them over it and we can get them through, you know, the one little hurdle that they need, then they can just bounce on over and they're good, you know. So it just kind of depends on their circumstances at the time, but it is a lot of the older generation, unfortunately, you know, they're getting up there. Yeah. Things are getting harder to do. And so we try to find as many agencies, and that's part of what I do is resources as well, is try to find as many agencies out there that provide as many things as we can, just to make sure that that's one more tool that they have when they call that we can give them.
Now, I don't want to surprise you with this question because it was not something I talked about, but do you have an idea of how many people at any given time that you are touching and like fixing things for? You any like just a rough estimate?
I don't know how many call a day anymore. But I mean, we're talking, I know I'll say we're talking to hundreds a week.
Hundreds a week. Wow.
And I know our goal is normally about 25 to 30% case management. Mm-hmm. And I know we're right with that. So the ones that need the call back, you know, some veterans call us and they're just like, I don't know where to start. I just need this number. Yeah. And we can give them that number and they're gone and they're good. And sometimes I just call back and say, hey, I forgot that number. And then we do have the ones that need us a little bit longer. And that is what we know we try to focus on as well, is help the ones that really need the additional help. So we are right at about that 30% mark of having the ones that we are continuously calling. But those end up being some of our greatest success stories. Yeah. So those are a lot of fun. You know, they're a lot of great people. They just have some hard times.
Yeah, I think that's the old story. If you knew everyone's story, it would be hard to really think poorly of anyone if you knew where they were coming from, because, you know,
exactly.
It's It's everybody's got our own journey, and some people.
And everyone's journey is different, even if they were right next to each other.
Yeah. So in addition to these resources dealing with the physical and housing issues and food issues, do you also refer these veterans to like mental health organizations or places for them to seek assistance in that way?
We do have several agencies that deal with mental health directly. We also have different organizations like Equine Therapy in our database. One of my first ones actually that I found and just kind of was really impressed with is Narissa Jenkins. She has Healing Who Steps.
Okay.
So they combine mental health services like with actual licensed mm-hmm. social workers, counselors, mm-hmm. also with the animals. Yeah. So they don't have to ride. It isn't something where they come and they just have to ride if they mm-hmm. don't want to. They have so many different programs that they can, you know, go and do and just get that mental health state kind of back to where it needs to be, help mm-hmm. with anxiety and help, you know, with PTSD as well.
Yes.
And you know, look at things. They kind of get them to look at the things from the standpoint of the animal and then look at like, okay, what do you think a day in their life looks like, you know? And it's a beautiful facility. It's a wonderful program, but we try to have all kinds of different therapy programs available mm-hmm. that we can tell them about. Just because not everyone wants, you know, to go to a facility mm-hmm. or sit down and talk to someone. Some people just aren't like that. They want the hands on, like with the equine therapy or TM therapy as well for meditation. There's different, you know, things like that. We also have
what does TM stand for?
Transcendental Meditation.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. I always mess that one up.
You did good.
But it's a great meditation practice mm-hmm. that helps a lot of people with PTSD as well. But it is something that it has to be something that they're willing to do mm-hmm. and want to do. So we try to have as many agencies as with different things that we can, you know, provide them and, you know, get them what they're looking for to work for them, because not everyone wants to go to a facility. And so like, I'm one of those people, like I like the horses, I like dogs, I like, you know, other avenues. We also have agencies that provide service dogs, you know, that will help them with that. Mm-hmm. If that is something they need, and give them the training with their service dog and everything. So
that's great. What county is the Healing Hoofsteps in?
It's Okaloosa. It's
Okaloosa. Okay. So it's further west. We have a similar program, Hope Outreach, of in Bay County that they've been on our podcast. So
I am actually working with them right now to put them in our database.
Oh, great.
As well.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're awesome. We have a podcast. You can go listen to the podcast. They were in here. Back in March, we had them. So they were telling us all about their horses and how the horses pick up on, they can like almost know immediately if you're having a bad day or if you're having struggles. Like they just are so much, such intuitive animals. So it's really amazing. So that's awesome. I'm glad
they are my next one that I'm working on actually as
yay.
We speak.
So. Well, they're great. We enjoyed having them on here as well. So can you share with us, are there ways that our community can help your organization? Are there ways that people can get involved if they have a heart for helping and serving our veterans?
We always take volunteers. They can help by donating as well to United Way. They can donate directly to the Florida Veterans Support Line. And we make sure all those dollars go directly for the veterans. Like if it's for gift cards, or that's what we're working on now is, we're working on projects right now to try to do Thanksgiving meals and Christmas meals. So anything like that they would give, if they put it directly to the Florida Veterans Support Line, that would be stuff that we could use to provide our veterans with some holiday meals, because we always know that's, you know, a struggle and extra money. And so we're...
And sometimes a sad time of year for folks.
I was going to say holidays are always tough, because it always reminds us of loved ones that aren't there. Mm-hmm. Loved ones, we would like to be there if we can't travel, you know, things of that nature. So try to just do one more thing to brighten them up, say, here you go.
Or sometimes for our veterans, the survivor's guilt if they've had friends that they've lost, you know, in the service, whether to suicide or in combat or whatever. Like, the survivor's guilt is particularly bad during the holidays as well. So kind of in closing, why is this mission important to you? What made you seek this out? And you started as an intern, helping, doing this, but not even getting paid. So it's got to be, you got a heart for this. So why is it important to you?
Okay. It is very important to me personally because I am a veteran. I do suffer from MST, which is military sexual trauma. It is something that is now being much more taken care of, but back then it was not. And I know there's a lot of veterans like myself, males and females, that have went through the same thing, and it's never been treated, or it's even for myself, I'll say swept under the rug, because you didn't want to make waves, you didn't want to make it harder on yourself, and then you try to deal with it in the real world later on, and it's not always that easy. And I try to practice what I preach, when I tell my veterans, but just get help. So, you know, it's one of those things that I do know what they're going through. Mm-hmm. I do know triggers, and we understand triggers, and we understand combat. And, you know, even though my combat wasn't on the battlefield, it was in other places. Mm-hmm. And then in my head every day, dealing with these people face to face. And, you know, so my mission was, if I could just help other veterans with PTSD, you know, that would be the one thing I could do. And when I started at United Way, it just kind of changed to a whole different perspective of, I still obviously want to help veterans, but it doesn't just have to be my PTSD veterans. Mm-hmm. It could just be a veteran having a rough day. Yeah. And so it's kind of shifted in that focus to where I want them to have that safe place, because I feel like I finally mm-hmm. have it.
Yeah.
So I want them to have that safe place, you know, to go to. And, you know, and my coworkers as well, they're, you know, they're very just passionate about helping, you know, and I think that's where we're all kind of driven, is a help factor. We just, mm-hmm. we keep thinking if we just help one more, like it's going to get better. And yeah. we do. And we help one more and it gets better. And for us, that's our healing. That's yeah. how we make it better. That's how we get better. And for me, I know that's where I've kind of shifted to, that if we can just do one more,
yeah,
you know, one more event, find one more resource, mm-hmm. you know, find one more place that'll just make it easier. And that's pretty much how we've ended up being so driven. It's just one more.
Well, thank you for sharing with us and being so open with your own struggles. And I know we've talked about this on our podcast before about, you know, when you've gone through something, to then down the line be able to be the person you wish you'd had back then. So, like, I know you're being that person, and your coworkers are being that person for so many in our community. So that's amazing testament to what you do. Are there any more resources you would like to share with us?
There are websites many. They can call us and we'll give them whatever resources they need. We have over, just for our veterans alone, we have over 100.
Wow.
Different, you know, different resources.
Is there a page online or anything that lists all those resources?
They can go to, now you're testing me.
We can link to it. You can send it to me.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, just send it to me.
They can go to, United Way of West Florida,
okay.
and look up resources, and it'll allow them to search for what they need. Sometimes it might be a little bit easier. They can call 211 from their area, and that will get them to their local 211, which for this area would be us.
Okay.
And they would just press 5, and that would actually give them a veteran.
Okay.
And then we can look it up and make it a little bit easier on them.
Okay. Well, I will link to all this on our notes page for our podcast, so it'll have everything listed on there for you, too. And another way you can contact the Florida Veteran Support Line is by calling 844-693-5838. And as Christy said, you can also dial 211. And if you press 5, you're going to get an actual veteran that you can talk to. So veterans helping veterans. So, Christy, thank you so much for being here today and joining us and sharing all about your work and what you are doing out there with the Veterans Support Line. We're thankful for you and your organization, and we know that you're making a difference for our veterans and their families every day. So thanks for being here.
Thank you.
For more information about today's episode and other resources, please visit our website, www.howyoudoin.org, or visit the ABC Facebook page. Thank you for listening today. After everything our community has been through, it's so important for us to check on each other. We encourage you to take the time each day to really ask your friends and neighbors, how you doing? How You Doing Bay County is meant for informational purposes only and should not be substituted for mental health care from a licensed professional. And last but not least, this podcast is produced by the talented students in the digital media program at Gulf Coast State College. Go Commodores!